back to my show. So in this episode, I speak to Darren Farrell, and we talk about the fitness industry in general. We talk about health, wellness, but most importantly, we talk about mental health and the importance of having a positive mindset. And not just that, but how to overcome feelings of anxiety, depression. And Darren is a huge advocate of helping others that have experienced these emotions, and we delve deep into the topics, and it's something that really resonates with me, and I really hope that it helps you guys as well. And it's such an important topic, and I don't feel that a lot of people do talk about this enough, but in this episode, me and Darren really delve deep into it, and it resonates with me on such a level. And I hope you really enjoy this week's episode, and I'll catch y'all on the other side. But yeah, I'm so excited to have you on the show. How are you? It's been a long time.
I know, ages. How are you?
Yeah, I'm really good, thank you. Really, really good. So what's new?
Not much. The usual kind of life, roasting out here at the moment.
Where are you based? You're based in Dubai, right?
Yeah, so it's like 46 degrees today.
Oh my gosh, I remember. I used to live in Dubai. It must have been about 5 years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I used to live there because I worked for Emirates. And we were based, I don't know if you know it, Sarab. So literally, the accommodation that no one wants, I was put there. It's like in the middle of the desert. Have you heard of it?
No.
Oh my God. It's like on the way to Motor City.
Oh, really?
And the Arabian Ranches, it's like far out. So how long have you been there for now, Darren?
It'll be 3 years in August.
No way, time flies, right?
I know, yeah, it's nuts. I can't believe it. Like, you only came out here planning for 2 years, and now it's like permanent.
Seriously, and you're loving it?
Yeah, we love it. It's like a good group of friends here now, and it just suits us.
I feel like the gyms out there as well, they're improving like every year. They've got some pretty sick gyms out there, right?
Literally, like there's a new one opening like every couple of weeks. Like crazy ones. Like you've got everything from like bodybuilding to like sports performance. Like you have the Michael Johnson Performance Center opened this year as well.
And when I was there, there was quite a few like MMA gyms there, right? Like martial arts gyms. Is that still the case?
Friendly with the guy who runs UFC gyms here as well. They're growing massively.
That is insane. Have you tried it?
No.
Is it something that you'd want to try?
I've done a small bit of grappling with one of the guys who trains in my gym. He's like one of the best coaches in the world. And then I'm quite friendly with him, so he's messed about with me before, but just taking the piss out of me, really.
It's hardcore, right? It's all about performance, isn't it, MMA? I mean, I've got a couple of friends. One of them's just flew to Vegas, Brendan, and he's just about to compete in a UFC fight, which is pretty insane. But the condition those guys are in, like, it's not just about kind of how they look, is it? It's about, like, how they move their body.
Yeah, and they're next level like athletes.
It's insane. So cool. So what are you doing out there at the moment then, Darren? Are you still doing all your fitness?
Yeah, mainly, to be honest, I was doing a lot of PT. I say a lot, like 4 or 5 sessions a day.
Yeah, it takes a lot of energy, right,
now,
PT?
No, to be honest, I've stepped back quite a bit because I'm concentrating a lot on myself and doing a lot more online because, like, travel commitments now are pretty crazy, so I can't really commit to too much PT.
And how are you finding your kind of online platform?
It's got a lot bigger now, a lot easier for me to do since like turning pro and doing more of what I'm doing, because obviously I've been traveling, so I'm out more and more people are seeing me and stuff. So
it's insane. Kind of like, so you're pro now as well. Tell us about that, please. I want to hear all about that.
It's weird because the year before I competed, and that's what I was aiming to do, I was aiming to try and get a pro card, I wanted it so bad. And then this year I hadn't planned on competing at all, I just was just training, and I just decided I was going to do a show, and I had no intention of, like, obviously it was in the back of my mind, but it was like, it wasn't the goal. And yeah, it just happened. And
that's what happens though, right? Like when you kind of relax and flow with anything in life, I feel that kind of more things happen.
This year was all about changing my like mental perspective on things and like my own motivation, and it just kind of happened, you know.
And that's a topic that I really want to talk with you as well, kind of like mindset. And you know, I see on your page you talk a lot about how to manage anxiety, depression, and do you feel like fitness has helped with that?
Yeah, certainly. I think fitness has helped me a lot with this, the structure and the, you know, control. I think because I'm someone who I need like my routine. I think that's one of the things that throws me off massively is when my routine's out. But learning to deal with this, I think the fitness gives me that control over my life and my release. But I think more what I'm trying to achieve at the moment is, I think the biggest thing that I realized this year, what's helped me a massive amount, is it's not a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the normalization that anxiety and depression is, it's just a thing. You know, and what I'm trying to do with my platform now is trying to get people, I'm not qualified to cure anyone. I'm not trying to tell people how they deal with their depression or anxiety, but I'm hoping that by what I speak out about it and talking about it myself, it will let them know that, you know, you can talk about it and their journey.
100%. I mean, I think a lot of people have anxiety or, you know, can potentially have a low mindset, and I think it's different triggers which trigger different people, right? And I mean, I feel really anxious, like certain things, you know, even social anxiety or, you know, doing something for the first time. It can be the anticipation or a worry in your mind that might not even potentially happen.
I think everyone has anxiety. You know, everyone feels anxious. Everyone experiences the anxious feeling over something. But people who suffer from anxiety, it's not suffering from the actual thing. It's suffering with how they deal with it. So they compound it and let it take over. So it's like, I feel anxious with speaking in front of a crowd. And instead of stepping back and rationalizing and seeing, right, all it is speaking in front of a crowd. These people, you know, they're not judging me. They don't care, you know, everything I do, you know, whereas someone who like suffers from anxiety and lets it take over will literally just break down. That speaking in front of a crowd is, they're going to judge me. They're going to think this about me. And they just completely snowball it in their head. What they do in their own head.
Have you done any public speaking or anything recently, or is that something that you've kind of managed to control yourself before speaking to a big crowd of people, or do you anchor yourself? Like, what do you do before?
That's something that's one of the things I've never I don't struggle with.
I mean, I feel like I totally would, so you can teach me some ways, Darren.
You know what,
when I did Miami Pro, did you come to that show?
Which one?
Miami Pro. So for anyone out there listening, I've known Darren for about 5 years, has it been?
Yeah, come to Jesus, long time. We're getting old.
We are. Oh my gosh, I was 30 this year. But I did a show, I did a couple of shows, and Chris prepped me for Miami Pro. And when I was on stage, oh my gosh, and for any bikini girls or competitors out there can relate, my face was like shaking, you know, when you try and smile and you're just like, oh my gosh, and your legs are shaking, you're trying to pose, like, and you've got this panel in front of you of judges that are judging you, and oh my gosh, the adrenaline, like, it was crazy. Like, put me in my safe space, in my gym environment, you know, on the floor, like, I am confident, like, but put me in something where it's new, and I suppose that's a good thing in regards to life, challenging yourself in those concepts and those areas. But I don't know about you, Darren, my face was shaking. Legit.
It's a funny one, because that's never bothered me, like, on stage. I've never had those nerves. I'm a lot worse in smaller groups.
Okay.
My anxiety got to the point where, I've been okay for the last year now. I've been quite good, but 18 months ago, I couldn't even be out in a group of three or four people. And that could be good close friends.
And how have you managed to cope with that? Like, how did you overcome that?
For me, I think a big part of it was when I started to deal with all this and started to accept it and come to terms with depression and had Becky. And I hid behind Becky.
Yeah, Bex is amazing. She's such a strong woman, right?
Yeah, but in some ways it was the worst thing for me because in social groups and stuff, Becky could see when I was struggling and she'd take over. So I never really actually stepped out of my comfort zone and I always kind of relied on her to like almost just look after me. And it wasn't until it was last summer. Like it's tough for Becky as well to dealing with the way I was. Like I was incredibly hard to deal with. And she needed a break. So she in the summer, I needed to stay for work and stuff. And she went to Greece for 8 weeks to her parents.
Yeah.
And in those 8 weeks, the first few weeks, like I was a mess. I struggled to leave the apartment, you know, to cope with myself. But after a few weeks, I slowly realized that I could do this myself and became more. And it was John. It was like, it's almost like they say, you know, if you're scared of heights, just jump.
100%.
I have to deal with it. It was either sink or swim. And fortunately enough, I swam.
So what was kind of like your first outing or your first social experience or what did you do? How did you initiate that first experience and kind of find the courage to just be like, you know what, fuck it, let's go. You're either going to swim or sink.
Do you know what, a big part of it was, I don't know if you know Jamie Dorigo.
I probably know his face, but I don't think I do.
So he's big in the fitness industry. He's my training partner out here. He's also the guy who coaches me. But he's been like a massive influence on me in terms of just been like my mindset, been like, fuck what everyone else thinks.
Yeah,
you know,
love that.
Focus on you. You know, and also like things, he just changed my perspective on like, rather than focusing on what you don't have, focus on what you do have, work to have more, take like from those around you who are doing well, don't think, why are they doing well and why am I doing well? Or why don't you take motivation from it and, you know, just push and just do your own thing and just stick to your small group. He told me like, he used to have like large groups of friends and it was only when he really thought about like what he really wanted and who he really needed and what people really brought him and made his circle a lot smaller and only started caring about the people who were in the circle that he started having success. And that really resonated with me. You know, I stopped caring about this. Who cares what that person across the side of the street thinks? I don't know them. I don't know anything about them. I don't care what they're doing. So why should I care what they think of me?
And do you feel like it stems from, is it childhood? I know me personally, like a lot of my behaviours into adulthood, which I am managing and, you know, changing now, they do stem from childhood for me. I don't know if you're the same or it's just been something you've recognised recently.
I think like reflecting on it for me, a lot of it came down to my own like low opinion of myself and not really knowing what I was doing as I got older. It was almost like you didn't know me when I was younger, but I was very successful in sport. Numerous scholarships for sport to universities. I made quite a bit of money from sport. I played professionally.
Which sport was it, Darren?
Played hockey and rugby.
Amazing.
At level. And that's always what I did. It was, you know, my parents were both athletes. I grew up with like, if people would like be Darren, the like hockey player. Like I was always known for that. And then when that was taken away from me when I was 23 through injury, and that's kind of like I had to reinvent myself. I never really did. I didn't know what I was doing. You know, I'd gone through university doing degrees, but only doing the degrees because I was in university to play hockey.
It
wasn't because I didn't have to, and I never had to work for it. You know, I never struggled with exams. I never really had to push. I never had to work. So then all of a sudden I'm 25, 26, not really knowing what I'm doing with my life, feeling pretty unsuccessful, having been very successful in my youth. And like, again, like in a relationship with a woman who's very successful, doing very well, and just feeling kind of worthless. That was kind of where mine stemmed from. And I just had a very low self-opinion myself.
I think with athletes as well, Darren, like what you're doing at the moment, you know, educating people and helping people and getting the word out there. Like, I know a lot of athletes that they go through transition periods in their whole career, you know, it could end the next day due to injury, or, you know, they're coming to retirement age and it's like, what's the backup plan? This is all I know, you know, this is me. Yeah. And we tend to kind of put ourselves in a box. Let's say, you know, Darren, the amazing rugby hockey player, Holly, the Philippa, the trainer. And if that's kind of like taken away from us, it's our whole identity. And we're like, shit, what the fuck do we do now?
And it's not just, even if you do have a backup plan, you have a degree and you can go work in an office, it's very hard to step down from the limelight and just be an ordinary 9-to-5 person. Like, I don't mean that there's anything wrong with that. But if that's not what your life is going to be.
No, I get it. I get it. If you've got a dream and a passion, like, you know, Chris has helped me with this recently. I go through phases. I go through highs and lows and whatnot. And I think having a strong mentor there, like you said, you've got a mentor. I've hired Chris now as my mentor. And I was at a point where I was like, shit, like, I'm not motivated. I don't know what to do. I feel lost. Like, so yes. Resurrounding yourself with the right people. And, you know, I'm definitely unemployable, and I'm sure you are as well. Like, I couldn't work for anyone, because, you know, I just couldn't. But yeah, I think that is a key point.
Yeah, no, I think I found myself in this place where I was looking around and, you know, I'm like, okay, I have all these degrees. I have, like, I know I'm an intelligent person. I know, like, I have my master's in nutrition and all this. And I'm like, why aren't I successful? Why are these people doing better than me? And always, like, asking why aren't I, and things like this, and almost being, like, jealous and envious of all the people being successful. And I think that's one of the things that I touched on one of my posts about social media. It's one of the things, social media can be great because it can open up avenues for people, but can also be terrible because you can see people doing well.
I saw this post,
you focus on everything you don't have rather than thinking, wait a minute, I wake up every morning, I have a roof over my head, I have a wife, I have, you know, all of this. You're so fixed on the huge things you don't have. And it's almost, I think one of the things for me was taking a step back and going, well, actually I have all this, what's the, you know, what am I really missing? Okay, material goods, okay, that's not really that big a deal. And when you start, like, not putting a huge emphasis on it, it's...
There's a lyric in one of Kanye's songs, and it says about materialistic things, and it's like, oh, it will come to me maybe later in this podcast, but it's like filling a gap that you've not got. So you're filling a gap, like, with all this materialistic shit, and that resonates with me. Like, if I'm feeling sad or whatever, I'll go and fucking buy loads of things that aren't going to serve me internally, but for that hot moment it makes you feel good. But then you're like, this actually hasn't brought me true joy. You can have all the material. I know people that have whatever car they want, they can go on whatever holiday they want, but they potentially are still missing something within. And I think having that sense of purpose, which I feel that you found and I have found, and that is one of the massive impacts that creates happiness and, like you say, feeling grateful for what we do have.
Yeah, exactly. I think it comes back to your why. You know, why are you doing this? And for a long time, my why was because I thought that's what I needed to do. And, or, you know, why did I want to turn pro? I wanted to turn pro because, you know, to impress people. That's not really a reason to do anything. That's not a why. And it's no coincidence that this year, when I took away from the training and competing, my reason why was no longer to get a pro card. My reason why was no longer to, so people would think I was better than I am. My reason why was because I wanted to be better than I was last year.
Yeah, I love that.
To myself, and I wanted to improve myself. And, you know, I was doing it because, and that was one thing I said at the start of this year, was it was not going to be my priority. Training and competing was not my priority. My priority this year was, you know, building my business again, and, you know, being happy. And I just trained for 2-3 hours a day, and that was it. I left it at the gym, and then it wasn't I didn't go home thinking about it. It wasn't what I was waking up in the morning thinking about. Whereas the year before and previous, it was all I focused on, because it's what I thought I had to focus on, because I was afraid of everything else.
Was there one event that caused this switch, or was it just kind of a journey to get to this point?
I think it was, you know, hitting a massive low in the previous summer. When Becky went away, I think she'd gone about 3 days and had a massive anxiety attack to the point where I passed out, woke up in like, I vomited and everything.
Yeah.
And I was just like realizing that I couldn't go on like this. You know, I had to think of like, how could I let myself get to this point? Because at the end of the day, I read a lot of things and I listened to a lot of podcasts. And one thing that always resonated with me, you know, emotions are your emotions.
Yeah.
They're yours at the end of the day. You have the power over them. So it's your choice to let them take over. And it's if you feel a certain way, it's your choice to let it continue that way. Or it's your choice to say, actually, no, I'm not going to let this happen.
And your experience of obviously that anxiety attack from the being sick and vomiting and passing out, like a real anxiety attack that I've had was probably about 10 years ago, and I was in a bar in Manchester, and I'm quite highly susceptible to energy, and the whole room started spinning, and I'd not had a drink, and I was just... I kind of couldn't breathe, and that's my only one experience of a true kind of panic attack, not anxiety, it's panic or anxiety attack. And to feel that extreme feeling and the response that your body had to that feeling, like, I mean, how was that the turning point for you?
Yeah, well, I didn't feel right for about a day or two. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was through the roof. They told me that I had like a mini stroke. So like when you hear that, it's like, oh shit. So like for 10 days, I had to visit the doctor every day to check my blood pressure. I knew that's when I'd been you know, toying with the idea of self-help and like listening to that podcast and doing things up until then. But it was when that happened that I was like, I really have to do something about this. And it's only me that can do it. So that's when I started like really trying to actually practice what I talk about now, you know, waking up in the morning and thinking what I'm grateful for, you know, taking these steps to be a little bit more outgoing during the day, going up to, you know, just saying hello to people in the gym that I don't usually say hello to, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the more the little steps you take and the more that it's actually okay, you realize, oh, I can do this. And then gradually, I remember towards when Becky came back, we went out for a meal I can't remember why, but we were out with a group of friends at a restaurant. And it was after that, she just said that she couldn't believe it. She was like, she sat there quiet. She was like, I've never seen you talk all night.
Wow. I bet she felt she was so proud of you as well at that point.
Yeah, that's what she said to me afterwards. I felt good about myself then. So it's like the little things I did made me feel better. And every time I did a little thing, it felt a little better. I did more. And it was just like, you know, it's like anything, you know, it's just taking small steps to achieve a bigger goal.
And building those habits, isn't it? It's kind of neurally reprogramming your brain to be like, no, this is okay. Like, this is okay. Sometimes with me, I can't put myself, maybe because I don't find it productive, but, you know, nights out and things like that, the anticipation of it, it's just not worth the feeling of anxiety that I get. But when I've done a lot of reading on it recently, and it's kind of, like what you're saying, do a little bit every day to reprogram your mind and take away the fear and just know that it is okay. Because if someone's had a bad experience in the past and, you know, it could be anywhere, it could even be in a gym, right? And then they don't want to step foot in a gym again because they've had that experience. So they have to build that kind of confidence slowly. So all this really, really resonates with me.
It's like, and for me, it's more practicing self-awareness, you know. So I say to people now, like, I suffered from depression and anxiety. You're never completely rid of it. Like, you still have bad days, but now it's more that now you're aware of it. So when you have those bad days, you know to say, right, I'm feeling like this, but I know why I'm feeling like this. Okay, step back, take a deep breath. I always say to myself, what would I say to someone else going through this? And I say
that to myself.
And I'm like, okay. You know, because it's trying to step out of your body and recognize the situation. And just whatever's making you feel that way, just try and get away from it. Just be, you know, three deep breaths. Like, anyone, like, a lot of people actually messaged me a couple of weeks back when I came back from I can't remember where I was. I'd been in the UK and I was still prepping to do the Toronto Pro Show.
Mm-hmm.
And I shouldn't have been prepping to do this show because my body was wrecked. I was tired. I was only doing it because I thought I needed to. I wanted to. It was like the opportunity to do this show had come about. And I spoke to like Jamie and I spoke to Max. And I was like, no, this is not good for me. I'm too tired. I'm struggling to get out of bed in the morning. I can't. I've got another 6 weeks of the show. So I was like, no, I'm going to take a smart choice here and call it a day. Into off season and I'm done with prep. About 3 days later, I was just sat there and I was like, I'd been prepping as such for about, you know, 12 months, and I was like, what do I do with myself? And I suddenly had this like come down and this low of like it was all over for a while, and I started just feeling really weird, and I was like, all right, I'm gonna take myself out. I put on my stories because I thought this might help people. I was like, right, I'm feeling this way. I'm going to Dubai Mall. Had a walk around.
Yeah.
Looked at a few shops. Went to the cinema. Watched the movie.
Love that. Love it.
And, you know, just had a me day, as you call it. And just,
yeah.
You know, and by that evening, I was like, yeah, I feel fine now again. I just reset.
I love that. And it's taking the time out. I mean, I've done that before. Did you go to the cinema on your own?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've done that a couple of times. And when you're in that mindset and you need to take yourself away from reality, in a sense, sitting in a dark room with whatever, pick a mix snacks, or even just sitting in a dark room with your drink and knowing that you're in that kind of fantasy world to kind of decompress your mind and reset your mind.
Shut your mind off for a little while.
Oh yeah, I've done that a couple of times, I think. Yeah, it's real. And even I'm very similar to you in the fact that walking around the shops or whatever, it's healing. It's just taking yourself, being still as well. I've listened to a few podcasts and people generally, I don't know if you can resonate with this, you know, if you're not busy or you're not productive, and you know, there's busy, not productive, and relaxing with friends and family and whatnot, and you have to find that balance. But when you're not busy, you've got no purpose, you're sitting there, your mind's thinking, just get up, get something done, you know, go for a walk, write a blog, get something on your story, add value to someone else. If you help someone else, I feel that for me personally, that makes me feel so much better. If I don't feel in a good place one day and I've helped someone else, and what you're putting out there, Darren, as well, that's going to help so many people. And you should be really proud of yourself for kind of, because it's a brave thing to do, really. People don't want to admit, you know, we celebrate our wins and successes on Instagram and social media, but we don't, you know, help people in the fact that, you know, not every day is fucking going to be amazing.
Yeah, I think that's the thing as well, is with this in this industry, especially the fitness industry, that's why it's becoming more and more resonant, like the things like mental health, muscle in the UK, and I think that's why so glad they're around now. It's because of this, because so many people in the industry, like, you've got to remember, the fitness world is built on people not feeling good about themselves. Like, none of us have gone into the gym day one because we thought we were perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So deep down, you know, most people involved in the fitness industry, no matter how successful they are, day one, they went in there because there was a reason they didn't like themselves. So there is these issues within the industry. And then you have these people who are just starting out on their journey, who aren't feeling great about themselves, scrolling through social media, and all they see is perfect, 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 perfect. You know, and people celebrating the goods and then the good things in their life, looking crazy, abs, you know, that girl with a nice ass, you know, living like, you know, out on a boat, you know, all this kind of stuff, living the lifestyle. And they're like, all they think is, I don't have that.
And a lot of it as well, I've got a lot of friends who are in fitness, but then I've got a diverse friendship groups, really. And some people are influencers in the fashion world, makeup artists, singers, creatives, clothing designers. And a lot of it is staged, these Instagram shots.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%.
Especially influences. You know. And do you drink, Darren, alcohol?
No, I
don't.
Not that I don't drink. I choose not to.
I'm the same as you.
Like if like me and Becky go out for a nice meal, I may have a glass of wine, but I'd say probably I have a drink once a year.
I can relate with that, but I think that's a massive factor in low mood, mindset, motivation levels generally. But a lot of influencers, that's their lifestyle, they're drinking, you know, and then all these staged photos. And I mean, there's nothing wrong with that because that's how they make their living and, you know, working with clothing brand, whatever. But it's important that we get out there to people that it is staged. It's not real life. And please don't compare yourself to that because, you know, we all have our own struggles, whether we, you know, to open about it on social media or not. Nothing and no one is perfect.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I could easily just post pictures like of me, you know, out in like Dubai Mall or, you know, at the Burj and stuff. And that's not really my life. My life's pretty boring, you know. I'm always honest with people when I'm back in the UK, body kind of like, oh, you're living the dream. You're flying all around the place. I'm like, I'm not really living the dream. I'm like, do you want to know what my week consisted of in the UK? Living out of the back of a car and going from hotel to hotel. You know, cooking on a George Foreman on the floor. Back in Dubai, I get up, I go to the gym, you know, I come back to my apartment. I don't live an extravagant lifestyle. A weekend for me is every maybe 2-3 weekends a month, me and Becky go to we do the VIP cinema. That's kind of our
love thing, that. You know. Dubai has some really cool restaurants as well. I really wanted to try, last time I was there, everyone goes on about it, Darren. Is it Salt Bay?
Oh, yeah.
Or something. What have you been there? What's it like?
It's good. You know what? It's one of those things you got to do and experience. It's cool to have the whole thing and then cut up the meat. But the food isn't amazing. You can get a good steak anywhere, a better steak in a different restaurant. But
where's your favorite restaurant in Dubai?
My favorite restaurant is probably Buddha Bar.
Ooh, I don't think I've been there.
Sushi's my thing.
Okay, like it.
Yeah, I'm all about the sushi. So I'm actually genuinely the UAE's fastest sushi eater.
You are. I love that.
I won a competition during the year. Kilo of sushi
at Buddha Bar. Free sushi for life, Gary.
Sumo. There's a branch out here called Sumo Sushi and Bento Takeaway and Restaurant.
What did you win for it? Did they give you free sushi for the year?
I won 5,000 and free sushi for the year.
£5,000?
Dirham, so £1,000.
That's pretty sick.
Yeah.
I mean, next time it's on, I'm coming because I can eat my food. I'm telling you, I'm coming and I'm going to do that competition.
It's on again, I think, in a couple of months.
I'm not even joking. I'm so down for that. How much sushi did you eat?
It's a kilo. So they make a kilo roll, a big giant roll. Like it's like a giant burrito and they cut it up and you have it. So whoever can do it the fastest time.
Did you enjoy it or were you just like literally whamming it in?
So they, basically, they had it on for a month in their restaurants, and you could go to the restaurant and, you know, order the thing and do it. And if you did it in like, if you could do it in under 10 minutes, you got it for free. So after training legs one day, me and Becky were like, cool, let's go here and just do that. Like, we can easily do it under 10 minutes. So we were just like taking it around. As we went in, I was like, what's the fastest time so far? And the guy was like, in the whole of UAE, it's like 3 minutes 30 or something. I was like, whoa, that's pretty fast. I was like, okay. I started eating. I was doing pretty good. Becky's like, I had like half of it gone in like 1 minute.
No way.
Go for it. So I ended up doing it in the restaurant in like 2:50.
That's insane.
So then at the end of the month, they invited the top 5 fastest times across the UAE to do a live one. in like their main restaurant, and I did it there, and I actually tried like hard. I did it in like 2 minutes 20 something.
No way. Like, is it when you first said that, I was like, oh, he's joking. Never mind. No, he's actually being serious. That's sick.
I'm actually serious. It's on my Instagram profile. Like,
what, in your bio?
Yeah.
I love it.
UAE's fastest sushi eater.
I love it. It's just been Ramadan as well, right? In Dubai. I know when I lived there, it was pretty strict. Like, the restaurants would all be, you know, boarded off. Is it still like that now, or...?
It's not as bad. So this is our third year here for it, and every year it's got less and less strict. So like the food courts and the malls and stuff are open now, but they just like put a black like canopy up in front of them, so you can still go in. A lot of the restaurants have like they just black off the windows, you can still, like
yeah. And there was Eid on Friday, wasn't it? I think Friday last 2 weeks ago. Yeah, I remember that. But yeah, they used to border off all the restaurants, and you know, like in the taxis and stuff, we couldn't drink water.
It's not less strict. It's kind of like you shouldn't, but people are like, even in the gyms, people are like drinking water and stuff.
Have you ever like intermittent fasted? I mean, I'm a fan of it. Recently, I've not been doing it so much, but obviously we can drink water and have black coffee and things like that. Are you a fan of it? Have you tried it?
The only times I ever do it, I fast when I fly. So things like when I flew to New Zealand, so I had like a 19-hour flight, I fasted.
New Zealand, how amazing is it? Did you love it?
I love it there. Especially now, it's the place I earned my pro card, so
insane.
It's got a special place in my heart. But I want to go back there on a holiday now. I really want to go, especially because I made some friends there in Scotland.
That is insane. Did you... Because obviously the air in Dubai is quite dry. When I went to New Zealand, the air, the food, everything is like, if I could live there, to be honest, I would. And it's like just fresh. Did you hike Mount Eden? And they've got One Tree Hill as well, haven't they, there?
No, I literally didn't venture outside. I was in Auckland for like 5 days. So it was only like one day after the show I was there. So we didn't get a whole lot done.
I bet you were tired as well, you were focused on the show.
Yeah, so I didn't really get to see a whole lot, but I loved Auckland as a city. One thing I did notice about it is the produce there is like amazing, like the meats and the veg and stuff is all like super fresh, especially compared to Dubai where it's all like imported.
100%. I feel like in Australia and New Zealand, they can't import the food. I'm sure that's one of the rules, isn't it? So it's all like locally sourced.
Yeah, it's all home produce there.
Although, like, Whole Foods and in America is, like, it's, like, $40 for a salad, right?
Yeah.
But as soon as you get what you pay for, and it's organic. But, New Zealand is incredible. So what are your plans for the rest of the year then, Darren?
I'm here in Dubai now for another 2 weeks. And then I'm going to Greece for a month just for...
Amazing.
I'm just going for... back to the village where we got married, and so we go most summers and stay there. So we're going to go for a month.
Does it get super hot in Dubai? Is that why you kind of go to Greece and just have a chill?
It's too hot here now. Like, I struggle massively with it. I hate the heat. So
you can literally fry an egg on the floor, right?
legit. It's like to the point where walking out of the building to your car like 10 meters, you sweat.
Good for fat loss.
Yeah, the last few days training, I've literally been soaked, and the gym has aircon. I'm like, what the hell?
No way.
So go to Greece, just switch off, have a bit of a time.
And the food, I'm all about the food, and I bet the food in Greece is like insane.
It's amazing, just fresh fish and stuff. I'll just live off it.
What's like Greek food? Is it that's like vine leaves and stuff, right? Or is am I just being?
Yeah, and they've got their kind of dishes like moussaka.
Oh my gosh. Oh, that's a dream.
Yeah. So Becky's parents lived there for half a year. Her dad's originally Greek, so they live there. So he cooks me special meals every night and stuff. So
I love it.
My favorite food.
Love it.
Amazing.
And you'll train out there, of course, as well, and eat, chill, living the dream.
I'll probably train like 4 or 5 days a week. I'll try and relax a little bit, but I've obviously still... I'm on clam and stuff at the moment, so I've got to be stick to it somewhat when I'm away.
So do you have your own coach, Darren, or are you coaching yourself at the moment with
no,
prep?
No, Jamie coaches me, my training partner, Jamie DiRigo, he coaches me.
Okay. He's the coach who kind of supports you in regards to, you know, when you reached out in regards to the anxiety, depression, and he was like, yeah, just don't give a fuck what anyone thinks.
He's like a lad's lad. Like, we didn't so much talk about it in, like, directly, but, you know, it was the way he was about things and what he told me, just advice he gave me on life in general. It wasn't like we didn't go to have a conversation about what I'm going through or anything, but it was just, he helped me with the way he just focused me, you know?
Yeah.
And just his own mindset on the way he is with his life and stuff. And he talked about it, and it just helped me massively. You know, we train together every day as well. So we train every day, we see each other every day, we talk every day. So he can see what I'm good and what I'm bad. And, you know, he's got a different perspective on life than what I used to. So he helped me a lot with that.
And it's like, it's therapy, isn't it, when you can talk and train? I know when I train with one of my friends, Nash, like, we'll talk and train, and it's like a therapy session. Like, the better you're talking, you're training, like, better in your mind, body, and soul. Like, that's why I'm such a fan of, you know, having a training partner and, you know, creating your community within fitness and, yeah, just training and finding people that you can trust within the industry.
Yeah, you know what? I think that's the biggest thing with it is trust. I trust him in my life, so it's been a huge help in terms of just focusing me. And I think he knows me better than I know myself now. Like, it's funny, when I decided to pull out of Toronto, he was like, "Yeah," and Becky goes to me, "Yeah." Me and Jamie talked about this 2 weeks ago. He was like, "His body's too tired." He knew that I wasn't going to be doing it. He was like, he told Becky that I have to come to the realization myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's right. But he kind of guide you and be there when you need him, right?
Yeah, exactly. So he's been massive help for me and for Becky.
So have you got any more shows later on this year, or are you just going to chill, focus on training, going to chill in Greece, living the dream?
Yeah, so after I decided not to do Toronto, I took like a week or two off. I was kind of just relaxed a bit. I've been relaxed then for the last couple of weeks, and just last week I started like off season as such, you know, like trying to progress for next year. So I'm planning on starting like prep for shows in December again, with the aim next year to probably, I'll move out to America for about 2 or 3 months to compete.
Amazing.
And do a run of shows.
Which part in America?
I'm definitely going to be doing the Pittsburgh Pro and the New York Pro. They're like the two biggest pro shows you can do.
Have you been to LA before?
No, but I'm supposed to go in September.
Okay. A bit of Gold's Gym, Venice Beach.
Yeah, so I've got tickets to the Olympia, so I'm in Vegas. So I'm thinking
insane.
LA first and then go to Vegas.
Love that, love that. What's your favorite cheat meal as well, Darren? I'm currently, got to the Hilton in London for Ben Pakulski's muscle camp tomorrow, right? And I've got the in-room dining menu in front of me, and right there is a pizza. And I'm like, don't look at it. Close the in-room dining. Close it.
You have to tell him I said hello.
I will.
Yeah, I had him out here just about 2 months ago.
I'm super excited for tomorrow. Well, it's a whole weekend, but yeah, I'm super excited.
Mind-blowing when it comes to training, some of the stuff with him.
Yeah, I'm really excited to learn. I mean, I listen to his podcasts and some of the things in his whole ethos towards health and fitness. It really resonated with me. It's not just the physical, it's like the foods.
He said one thing that really resonated with me was he talked about like the tricks, like in training and stuff, you know, that there's the reason that like people who are successful and do really well in training is because, you know, you say you can go to this dark place in your training, you can embrace it. He talked about embracing the pain. It's that thing where you feel the pain, but you know you're in control of the pain. And that's like this power you have over it. Mm-hmm. He said like, he talked about like he does meditation every morning. He says sometimes when he finds meditation, when it's like, it's almost like too easy, he'll put a marble in his back pocket and sit on it.
Shit! No way! I've never heard of that before. I love this, though.
But he knows that he's in control of that. He can take that away any moment he wants. So he has to focus his mind to get over it. He's in control.
Do you meditate?
I don't as such, but I will often just sit and just embrace. Like, I sit and watch. You know, so I'll just, like, go to find a quiet place and just, I don't, as such, I guess it is a form of meditation, but it's, I don't call it meditation, but I'll sit and just kind of in my own kind of space with, like, nothing, no sounds, nothing, just relax.
When I meditate, it's crazy, right? Because I'm into crystals. I mean, I'm holding a tourmaline crystal in my hand at the moment, which is meant to help with Wi-Fi and radiation and 3G and all that kind of stuff, and crystals around my neck, tiger eye, blah, blah, blah. And when it's the hardest part for me meditating is actually getting to the point, lying there, being still and meditating. And once I'm in that zone, I'm fine, but it's like my body and my mind doesn't want to stop. I mean, Chris said the other day to me, am I on Adderall? Which is like, I don't know, is it some drug that makes you really hyper? And I was like, no, I'm literally, this is me. Like, I've got so much energy. And so I think for me, meditating, what really helps is listening to like a YouTube guided meditation. And that really kind of flows my mind. And I'm all into frequencies and, you know, 5 to 8 frequency, which heals codons. And it just relaxes my brain. I don't know if you've ever listened to guided meditations on YouTube or.
I did. It was something I did try. But I guess I haven't tried it since I've been more in touch with myself. I tried it when I first got diagnosed with depression. I got told it might help.
Mm-hmm. Did you feel that it did or?
No, because to be perfectly honest, I wasn't in a place where I wanted to be helped. I was just in this self-destructive mindset where, you know, I just wanted to feel sorry for myself and feel down. And, you know, it took me, like, I was diagnosed with depression 3 years ago. And if, being honest, I've only been in a good place for the last sort of 10 months, you know. So, and the amount, I think it's one thing I talk to people when, because I get approached now a lot by people saying that they're suffering, and I'm like, you can have all of the people, and I say to their partners and stuff, you can help someone as much as you want, you can do as much as you want. Like, I had so much support around me, like my mom, Becky, friends, you know, Chris, but it wasn't until I decided I wanted to be helped and I wanted to do it that anything happened, you know.
I think,
it's almost like with all these people around you helping, it almost makes it worse if you don't want to be helped. You know, they're just babying you.
I think that's a massive factor. It's wanting it and, you know, not being victim anymore, being victor of your own behavior, your mindset, but it's getting to that point. And I think it's the journey to that point. And then those people around you who love you, care for you, are there to catch you. And when you fall, and just kind of be your support network. But ultimately, it comes from
you. It's a lot easier to be the victim and feel sorry for yourself and have people feel sorry for you than actually try and own up to it and face your demons and actually work through it. Because, you know, you actually have to work. And it's a hard thing to do. You have to, like, almost restart. You know, so you have to, you have to be ready, you know, mm-hmm. to accept, because ultimately the stuff that you're going to have to deal with is going to be difficult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I can resonate with that. And it's like, even anything in life, it's like our clients as well. They need to want it in order to be successful, to make the change. You know, people that approach you for plans, me for plans, programs, whatever it is, they have to be ready to make that commitment and change and want it.
I think, like, it's funny, I was speaking to them today, mental health and fitness are very similar in terms of, you can hire who you want, you can have the best health in the world, but until you do it and you actually put the work in, nothing's going to change. It'll only change, like we say it all the time about, you know, fat loss journey, small goals, small steps. Same with mental health. You ain't going to be better overnight. It's doing little things daily that will lead to the big change. it's very similar. I find dealing with like repairing your mental health to your fitness journey.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. So, Darren, where can people find you on the internet, social media? Where can people follow your journey?
Probably my Instagram is probably the main point that I use. That's just my name, Darren Farrell underscore IFBB Pro.
Have you got a YouTube channel, Darren? Yeah.
I've dabbled in it. I've got bits and pieces.
Get it done.
A lot of people who will know me will probably know me from the series that me and Jamie did in New Zealand. That was actually on. It's funny because people call it our series. We hired videographers and stuff.
What's the link for that? What do people search on YouTube if they want to watch it?
Jamie DiRigo. If they type Jamie DiRigo into YouTube, his YouTube channel, and you'll see the series is called Road to Pro. I think there's like 12 episodes. Like,
okay, cool.
And this year back at Body Power, the amount of people who was like, oh, we followed Road to Pro, you're an inspirational. And I was like, okay, it's crazy. It wasn't even technically my YouTube, but it seems to be where a lot of people know me from.
I love that. You need to start your own channel, right? And get you on and starting your own little podcast show.
It is something I'm going to do next year. I kind of have got stuff in the pipeline with YouTube as well, but I'm so bad with technology and editing and things like that. But I did. I'm in talks. I want to hire someone to do it, like to do my videoing and stuff for me.
Because you know who I always watch on YouTube, Christian Guzman and Heidi Summers, so Buff Bunny.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, how cool. It's like a proper cinematic experience watching their videos, and they're such lovable, likable people.
I met them at Body Power. We were at the Muscle Fitness party that night with her. I sat down with her and Christian. It's fun. It's weird. You kind of expect they're just like they are on their YouTube.
100%. I just love watching their videos, and I think Christian's doing something similar to what you were doing with Jamie, and he's got a competition coming up, so it's like the whole road to the competition and like a series, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. We literally took people from this started a few weeks out, like from in, I think the first episode was in Dubai. And then it was like the whole traveling, the journey, and the videographer came with us on the plane. We paid for his flight. He came on the flight to us, everything. So it was literally every detail around the show. They got
you to watch what you say as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff cut out.
Well, thank you so much, Darren, for coming on the show as well. I really appreciate you taking the time.
No problem.
And something I ask all my guests. Just share three things, life mottos, life values that you would kind of give to people to live their fullest life. And, you know, what would you suggest to people? Three things to improve their mindset, their health, their overall well-being.
Okay. I think the first thing we touched on would be do it for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that helped me massively with my kind of own journey is take some time for yourself as well. Ask yourself why. You know, just discover what your reasons why are. You know, why are you getting up in the morning? Why do you want to do? You know, someone like, what's your goal? Let's say, this is my goal, and then don't have your goal, have your reasons why.
Yeah.
For the goals. I think they're more important. They're core values. You know,
mm-hmm.
Everyone should have at least three core values. You know, like family, love, and you know, and a lot of people will say wealth, but wealth is a value. That's
health is wealth, Darren.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the third thing is just don't take it too seriously.
Love it. Well, thank you so much, Darren, and hopefully we can connect and I will see you in the physical being very soon. And thank you so much for coming on the show.
An event in August. I'm speaking at a mental health muscle
Oh, you
event
said that. So just tell
August
everyone a little
18th.
bit more about that, please.
Yeah, it's in conjunction with Federation NFM UK. So it's going to be up in Walsall. I think tickets went on sale for it yesterday. So the whole series is not out of it. But it's in conjunction with Mental Health Muscle. So Mental Health Muscle, I'm talking, the owner of Mental Health Muscle has asked me to come over and do a talk. So I'll be talking for about an hour at us about my kind of journey.
And where's that based? I'm going to try and make it down.
It's in Walsall, I think. If you check the NFM UK Instagram or Mental Health Muscle Instagram, or you'll probably see it if you look at my stories.
Okay.
Links to us. Yeah.
Cool.
So,
well, I will. I'll get that booked in the diary.
Yeah, so it should be a good day. There's lots of other people talking at us, and it should be good.
I look forward to it. Well, thank you so much, Darren. What time is it in Dubai there now?
It is 9:30. It's not too late.
It's
probably late for me. I'm usually in bed by 10 now. So
yeah, I can relate. I can relate. So last meal of the day and then bed.
Yeah, that's good for me.
Right, I will let you go.
That was our weekend, so it's good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't even know what day it is. Time is an illusion. Do you know what I mean? Well, yes. Thank you, Darren. And I'll let you know when this goes live as well.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Cool. Catch you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And you took away some points that are going to help you achieve greatness physically, mentally, and spiritually. Don't forget, guys, you can win a free coaching call with me. All you've got to do is subscribe to my show and leave me a review. I'm going to be picking a winner every single week, so don't forget to leave a review. Thank you for the support so far. I really appreciate it. I'm going to get so much content out there. I've got some incredible guests lined up, and I hope it really does add value to your lives. And that's why I'm doing it. So thank you for the support, guys, and I will catch you on the next episode.